I wonder how the president's going to respond to the situation in Garland, Texas. ISIS shooters show up because it is said they were provoked. Pam Geller and her group, oh yeah, they can have a convention on drawing cartoons of the prophet, but they are responsible for what happens. If somebody pulls a gun out and shoots at them, it is their fault. Not the perps, not the shooters, it's their fault. Because Islam tells us you cannot draw pictures of the prophet. Okay, fine. If Americans are to respect and obey the laws of Islam that prohibit the drawing of pictures of Muhammad, then why wouldn't Americans have to respect and obey Islam's laws and punishments regarding gays and women?
Don't worry, you are tuned into KPFK, not one of hundreds of stations around the country that air the Rush Limbaugh show. And what you just heard was Rush Limbaugh's response to a recent shootout in Garland, Texas. And so powerful is Limbaugh considered that sometimes he is credited with influencing presidential candidates. And in fact, some have attributed Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's ending of his presidential campaign to Rush Limbaugh's abandonment of Walker. The Rush Limbaugh Show is the highest-rated talk show in the United States, drawing an audience of 15 million people every week. His particular brand of conservatism has infected many sectors of American society, and my guest, Elmer Lightman, has taken it upon himself to closely study Limbaugh's words and thought process. Elmer Lightman's book is called Everything You Need to Know About Rush Limbaugh Conservatism, a handbook for all Americans from left to right. He's a history teacher, a professor of communication ethics. He's been a media advisor to environmental, health, education, and human rights organizations. And I'm very pleased to welcome you, Elmer, to our program.
Thank you, Sonali. I'm pleased to be here.
So how representative of conservatism is Rush Limbaugh today? How much of a leader is he considered, a thought leader is he considered by conservatives?
They credited him in 1994 with accomplishing the conservative revolution, the conservative takeover, Newt Gingrich becoming speaker. They actually put him on the cover of one of their magazines as being one of the founding fathers. No, he is the voice, the media voice, at least was up till, Rupert Murdoch, Roger Ailes propaganda network, named after a cunning animal, interestingly enough. And when that came on board, they became the co-media voices and faces of what is called conservatism. That's one of the things I explore in my book. Is this really the conservatism that traditionally we came down through political science? That's just one of the many explorations that the book goes into. I started out when he first came on the air nationally in 1991, realizing very quickly that what he was saying every half hour, hour or so at least, wasn't true. Then it evolved into a study of what is the conservative mindset, which then brought me to what is the human condition and then where do we go from here?
And I want to ask you about the conservative mindset because I think that that's really fascinating. So you monitored what Rush Limbaugh says for the purposes of your book. I appreciate that you have, for the rest of us, sat through what is likely hundreds of hours of Rush Limbaugh pontificating. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine that that might be some sort of, mild form of self-torture. Torture, but
I've been congratulated, lamented with, commiserated.
Does he mostly tell the truth, or does he mostly lie? Does he bend the truth? How factual are his statements? In this last segment that I just played, he called these shooters ISIS shooters, which is not true.
He'll mislabel and. You can call it lying, misrepresenting. In fact, in the book, I have 30 categories of misrepresentations and outright lies, one of which I would love to be able to, in every one of my talks, I want to expel right away.
Okay.
Give the audience a chance. You know, and the conservative so-called, Sean Hannity, a little while back, made the same claim that... That Barack Obama voted for infanticide,
Senator in Illinois?
Yes, and you probably have heard this. And I call it the most egregious lie of the right wing and of Limbaugh. Limbaugh on September 11, 2013, quoting him, quote, "Obama voted time and time again in Illinois for infanticide." Well, the facts on that are available, but the right-wing mentality doesn't deal with facts. That's one of the important things that I bring out in the book, how they deal with facts. But let me get this on the record. The Republican co-sponsor of the bill in question, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, back in 2008, stated regarding the bill in question that none of those who voted against the original bill favored infanticide. They voted to change the language, which even the state medical society opposed. And then everyone voted for the final bill. And as he, the Republican co-sponsor, wrote in the Chicago Tribune, "We had finally accomplished what we had set out to do, protect a newborn baby's life."
So Obama voted for a Republican-sponsored bill, and Limbaugh expresses that as voting for infanticide.
There was an original bill that they voted against because it had language in it. It was trying to tantamount to undermining Roe versus Wade, and it was bad language. He voted against that. And it was a Republican co-sponsored bill. So everybody was on board, and all 116 state representatives and 54 senators all voted for the final bill, which, as he says, the co-sponsor Republican says, protected the newborn baby's life. And it's been praised as the kind of bill they should have. But what the right-wing mind and through their spokespersons will do is pick up an original idea, a misstatement, and then never change it. Stay with that.
And then
that
just re-echo
forever.
It over
exactly,
and over again.
Exactly, an echo chamber.
So to that effect, does Limbaugh influence other media? You talked about Fox News, with whom he essentially shares the spotlight. But we're talking about one person, which is Rush Limbaugh, and his mini empire, and then an entire cable and network channel. Does Limbaugh influence Fox? Or do they sort of work in tandem?
I'd say they're working in tandem. Here's who they influence. Is a significant thing. There was a survey of radio listeners at the University of Pittsburgh in 2002. I'll quote the head of the survey. He says, "If you take a group of people who never listened to talk radio before and then look at their attitudes 6 months later, you'll see a clear change reflecting the views of Limbaugh." Hmm. That's the danger that right. This thing is, and Fox News is the same way. Hmm. People, they call themselves fair and balanced, and people believe it.
And so that actually answers the question I was going to ask you, which is it's tempting for many of us to simply dismiss Limbaugh. You've spent a lot of time on this. Clearly, you think it is important for us to call him out because he influences so many people.
Yes, exactly. That's why this book is really a handbook. It's a definitive study of that mindset. And as I say, what I do is what I call a 14-step truth detection program. And I go into I'd start each chapter with the statement that Limbaugh makes. Then I go in the entire chapter with the facts and the realities on that subject. And I do it on the military, on the environment, on healthcare. So the book is very useful as simply a handbook on all of these issues because I took 20 years to do it.
Wow.
Again, as you say, how could I possibly? But I felt somebody had to do it. And so now the book is leased in the public domain. I get into such things as, the art of propaganda, which there was a book written in 1938 or 39 about a predecessor to Limbaugh, a Father Coughlin. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
He was the original radio right-wing talker. And he would talk against Roosevelt and the New Deal. And a organization called the Art of, The Art of Propaganda Institute came out with seven steps and ways that propaganda is disseminated. And I can cite an example of Limbaugh using those steps of propaganda. So that's another one of the things that the book is useful for, just understanding the art of propaganda.
Now, you call the book a handbook for all Americans from left to right. Would you say that Limbaugh is betraying traditional conservatism?
Well, this is a good question. Would the founders of original conservatism recognize Limbaugh? And in fact, there are many defectors from this so-called conservatism, and they write about what's wrong with it. And one of them, who had been a Republican operative, says that this mentality that we're dealing with and calling conservatism is really tantamount to some of the ideological movements in Europe in the 1930s. Well, that's a indirect way of referring to fascism. So I explore the original conservatism and where it was and then where this thing is today and what it is. And I quote defectors from it, people who were there and why they left. Mm.
So scientists have found physical and even neurological differences between conservatives
Excellent.
And the rest of us. Let's talk about that.
That's very
What is
important.
The conservative mindset? How is it reflected in our brains?
Yes. Excellent. This is one of the revelations I came upon, and it's in the book. There was a brain scan study done of people who considered themselves conservatives, call themselves self-declared conservatives, and invariably, it was found that people who are or consider themselves conservatives have a different brain structure than the rest of the population. And the part of their brain that's enlarged beyond what the rest of the population usually is the amygdala. The amygdala is the part of the brain that deals with fear and emotion. Isn't that significant? Then you might say, well, what about people who call themselves liberals? They studied their brains also, brain scans, and found, eureka, they too have a different, but the part of their brain that's enlarged is the anterior cingulate, and that part of the brain deals with empathy and planning.
So it would be certainly really worth pursuing whether one's brain evolves to that state based on one's views or whether one is born that way, nature versus nurture. And if it is more nurture, then Rush Limbaugh is truly, truly someone who is a force to reckon with in that he might be able to literally change people's physical manifestations, just speculation, of course, but a lot of fodder for and beginning points for more scientific study. How do you hope going forward for people to use your book? Because one of the things, I mean, Rush Limbaugh, essentially, you know, for people who don't buy his assertions, he appears as a serious hypocrite. His own past should completely invalidate what he says. When one is so morally superior as he, one would imagine that he would have a spotless record. But some years ago, he was caught abusing prescription drugs. He was arrested for it. Shouldn't that have humbled him? Shouldn't that have silenced him?
No, the right-wing mentality has a marvelous way of explaining or dealing with anything. In fact, on my website, www.elmerlightman.com, I list the seven stages that the right-wing mentality goes through when confronted with something they don't want to believe, confronted with facts they don't want to believe. And that's rather actually amusing. And it always ends up with they won't communicate with you after a while because, you know, you just don't agree with their version of the facts. Senator Patrick Moynihan, who was a Harvard professor, had a great aphorism about this mindset some 20 years ago when he was dealing with it. And he said, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. No one's entitled to their own facts. And with the right-wing mentality, and the reason for it is, it's to allay the fears that they have. It's to explain the world in a way that works for them. And I explore that in depth in the book. The real question is that, well, one of the things that has learned is that meditation can change the brain, can reduce the amygdala. So what I come upon is, How can we, it's really the human condition we're dealing with here in all regards. And the question is, where do we go from here? And it's easy enough to, you know, as people who see it otherwise, being on the left or liberals, to mock or dismiss that. But they are human beings, and this is the human, and so are we. And so we've got the human condition here. And the question is, how are we going to move forward? And I come to the final line in my book is that when human consciousness transforms, politics will follow. Then the question is, how will and can human consciousness transform? And I came upon in my decades of life and teaching and work and study and so on, the last page of my book, I present the one final thing that I found that really takes us to the core and the heart of how our mind works and can deal with how we can create change without needing further change. You know, every change then creates problems and needs further change. And how can we get beyond that? And in the last page of my book and on the website, ElmerLightman.com, I go to that as where to go next. Because really we have to look at...
You're not going to tell us we have to get the book together?
It would take another show to really explain it because people... It takes some explanation.
ElmerLightman.com is the website.
Yes. And you can find other things there. But
and people can also get a hold of your book. There's links for where they can buy it.
They can, but I'm promoting and I really hope that local bookstores like Vroman's in Pasadena and Book Soup here in L.A. and in San Francisco, Green Arcade on Upper Market Street, and the Great Modern Times. Try to find it there.
Thank you so much, Elmer, and best of luck to you. My guest is Elmer Lightman, and his book is Everything You Need to Know About Rush Limbaugh Conservatism, A Handbook for All Americans from Left to Right.